You're listening to Review Deja Vu, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Lisa Donovan.
Hello, this is Lisa Donovan. I'll be your host today for this episode of Review Deja Vu podcast. Our guest today is Catherine Czarnicki from MEDC. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so nice to have you here today. I'm also joined by Luke Forrest, director of our Civic Innovations Program. We are at the League's 2018 convention in Grand Rapids, and I know you just did a session earlier today. Hit them with your best shot. Love that title. Tell us a little bit about that.
Really, it was a great opportunity for my colleague Nicole Whitehead and I to talk about how business development and community development is collaborating with communities and economic developers around site and site redevelopment. And I think what's really interesting is talking to the number of local units of government who may not have a real solid relationship with either their county or their regional economic development player. And I think that's a great opportunity for where the League can help MEDC and our EDC partners really have a better communication channel, because again, we're all about building community prosperity.
That's great. Yeah, we're really happy to work with you on that and anything, all kinds of projects. One project we do work with you on quite a bit for the last few years is crowd granting. How do you feel about that program? How's that been working out?
So the little program that could, Public Spaces, Community Places, has been awesome. There's really no other word to describe it. Started with a pool of around $400,000, and we've been averaging $1.5 million over the last 2-3 years. It's really a program that is now running itself. It's interesting, though, that I think there are still lots of neighborhood organizations and nonprofits that could take advantage of this program. And it's a really good way for the state to leverage local neighborhood investments that are smaller in nature, especially for some of our larger communities that might not have some of the municipal resources. So we've been averaging around 100 projects. We're just over 100 projects, and it's going great. It's a great relationship that we have with the League, with our developers out in Detroit, Patronicity, and opening up the program both to units of government but nonprofits has been wildly successful.
Great. I know whenever we do social media or any promotion of these projects, we get a lot of retweets, a lot of shares. It's a very popular program. Although we've also had a number of sessions on it. I've always been a little bit surprised that more people don't know about it, but we're really trying to get the word out because it has been so successful.
Well, and the beauty of it is that literally anybody can participate. And I think that really gives the feeling of ownership to a lot of different individuals that we're not used to having involved in some of those projects. We've done ballparks, we've done soccer fields, farmers markets, public art, alleyways. And so it's really allowing us to give the power to the people, so to say. And if the community really wants to see a project happen, then they will come together and raise the dollars. Anywhere from between a $5 donation or change that you have in your pocket to $500. And so
I think that's a large part of its success. It starts with the community. This is the project that the community wants, and they get behind it, and you get behind it, and double the power, and it becomes successful.
We've had some communities who've had bake sales to raise money for their campaigns. So again, it touches on a lot of different age groups, a lot of different demographics, and it's just a real community builder.
Do you have a favorite project, one that was especially interesting?
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. When we first started, I had wanted a dog park. I kept saying, can someone please have a dog park? And I know Luke's not a huge fan of the dog parks, but I love dogs. I really think that
They're great community
fun,
builders,
right?
great social sites.
You know, now you have sometimes, you know, dogs get after each other. But so we've had some really great dog parks. But I also am a huge believer of murals and clearing out blighted wall space so it's more appeasing for people who are pedestrians or bikers. And so we've had some really great murals across Michigan, too.
Great. Well, Luke, I think you had a couple questions you wanted to ask Catherine. I'll turn the mic over to you for a few minutes here.
Thanks. Luke Forrest, also with the League staff. Thanks, Lisa, for letting me crash. And Catherine, this has been a great partnership. One of the things I want to start with is, I think as recent as maybe 4 or 5 years ago, you know, the community development team at MEDC didn't work as closely with a lot of our members and didn't work as closely with the League as you do now. So I know you've been very intentional about trying to change that in a variety of ways. Talk to us about how you think that's gone and sort of what your big picture vision is on the status of that relationship with communities around the state.
Well, I think that part of the change was really just somehow we became a little out of touch with our customers and the challenges that they were facing coming out of the 2008-2009 economy. And then we went through this real soul searching between MEDC and MISHTA over where does community development lie? And through some really great leadership, the two organizations came together and basically merged community development within the MEDC. And MEDC then retained all of the federal community development block grant dollars and solidified MEDC as the community development arm for Michigan. So as part of that, by bringing together our colleagues who are over in housing, we're able to go through some real thoughtful processes around community development, what communities that we target, what communities do we help, how do we help them, what tools do we have, how do we shift our tools. And so through that entire process, which honestly probably took about a year, we've come out on the other end really using RRC, the Redevelopment Ready Communities Program, as our platform. And although there was some initial pushback, I really do believe that this program is going to make a long-term impact on Michigan communities and how we set ourselves up for future success. I always tell communities, we're not just competing with the neighboring communities. You're competing around the country. You're competing around the world.
Right.
And if you do not have your act together, businesses and companies are just going to move
on. Just pass you right by.
Yeah. Right. I never want Michigan to lose a project because of a local process.
Right. How many redevelopment-ready communities are there that are certified?
There's 25 currently certified.
And how many are in the process?
240.
Wow, that's a lot. That's great. Yeah.
So
it all started with Roseville, didn't it?
It did. Roseville, Scott Atkins down there has been a huge supporter. He's been our guinea pig. And the real beautiful part of RRC is that it's living, and it's not a stagnant set of best practices. We have an amazing Redevelopment Ready Community Advisory Board, which Luke is a member of and helps us. Again, we don't want to just be stagnant and stay where we were. We want to continue to evolve with what communities are seeing and what developers and businesses are seeing so that, again, it's all about jobs.
We don't live in a static world.
Right.
Every program's got to change with it. Yeah.
Right.
So you talked about the growth a little bit. I'm glad you mentioned planning for that future success because I think that's really the framework that you've been using that's been so successful. And I think that's really that people are starting to see that now and seeing those results. We've been working with you all on trying to help people attract that development and investment that they want. So talk a little about what you see as the next phase for that redevelopment ready.
So phase two, which is really exciting, we never rolled out RRC to be just go through the series of best practices, get certified, and kind of sit on your thumbs and see what happens. It's really meant as getting your community ready so you can take the next step. And for us, that step is really being targeted and intentional around those redevelopment ready sites. And so we have a team now, a small team of three people. They're armed with some financial resources to really go out there, work with these communities, find developers, and get shovels in the ground and get them turned over. And so the whole point of this, again, we want to drive jobs and investment and we want to see community growth. And now the next step is to really be intentional and focused and help communities do that.
Get those lots from vacant to vibrant.
That's right. Shovels in the ground.
So as part of this, I think it's interesting to try to think about growing our developer network and our developer core, so to speak. In Michigan, I had the opportunity to be with a fairly nascent group called the National Town Builders Association, recently talking to them about Michigan and all the work that MEDC and MML and all the other partners are doing. And I have to say, going back to the Public Spaces Community Places program, that was when everyone perked up when I got to that part of my presentation and started scribbling notes and asking questions. But then I got to RRC and they were amazed at all of the things all the resources we're putting behind these communities. So it was super rewarding. They still felt like, though, we have some macro trends that are staring us in the face. The big one was construction workforce that they brought up. They said your real estate markets are pretty good, but the construction workforce is weak and lacking, and you need to do something about that. And they still have some perceptions about Michigan in terms of infrastructure. Having the sort of outdated and weak infrastructure is sort of a deterrent. So what do you think, big picture, stepping out of your role, like what do you think Michigan should be doing to try to sort of fix I wouldn't say perception problems, because in some cases those are reality, sort of fix those issues so that we can attract those investors and they don't have any hesitations about coming to Michigan communities.
I think it comes back to really taking a step back and looking at our education system. You know, when I was growing up in Michigan, I'm a product of Michigan Public High School. It was everybody goes to college.
Right.
And if you don't go to college, then you what do you do? Now I feel like there's this huge push to skilled trades. And I think there needs to be a real balance because
right.
we don't want to get too lopsided one way or the other.
We need
because
both,
now
yeah.
we're in a situation where we're deficient in both. In terms of the job opportunities in Michigan. And so then it goes back to when you keep thinking about community development, we need to have those great places where the workforce wants to come back to and they also want to stay.
Right.
So, you know, if you're a high school graduate who may be going into a tech program, and I think the Marshall Plan for Talent is going to help, but it can't just be a one-time thing. This needs to be a deliberate effort across Michigan and the education system, working with our businesses to really understand these trends. And to not let the pendulum
swing so far in either direction,
right.
yeah,
because
a little
then
more
we
balance.
Get into this situation, and I'm really hopeful that you know once Michigan the economy continues to grow, that our infrastructure will come back, and communities need to recognize, and the state especially needs to recognize the importance of that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Super. Well, you're talking about it sort of a holistic approach, and I wanted to, Lisa was asking earlier about the session. I wanted to compliment you and Nicole, your colleague Nicole, because really trying to, what I heard today was really that holistic approach and getting away from, you know, sort of a single focus of we need to get this new business in here on this site, and that's it. We're, you know, not worry about the surrounding impacts, and I think I kudos to everyone at MEDC who's trying to take that more holistic approach, and we hope to continue to see that grow.
Well, you know, it's always hard working in a political environment, and I hope that the movement and the strength that we have currently continues into the next administration, and I think that we've done a great job of shattering some of those internal silos, especially now that the community development team is more robust than we've been in the past. Really understanding the long-term impacts. I can't teach my business development friends enough that you really need to think long and hard about putting infrastructure into the middle of nowhere.
And then how are we going to pay for it, maintain it?
How are we going to pay for this in the long term? And so the same thing goes for housing. You can't just land a 400 new person plant in the middle of nowhere and then expect housing to just
pop up yeah.
considering our labor force issues. So it's being much more thoughtful about both sides of the house and what, you know, our missions are both aligned, but making sure that we don't forget what our colleagues are working on, even though they're only a floor below us.
Sometimes that right. can seem far away.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for today. I really appreciate you being with us.
Happy
here,
to be
Catherine.
Here. Thank
it's,
you.
We're you, the League and MEDC are great partners, and we hope to continue that partnership.
Absolutely.
And since this is the Review Deja Vu podcast, I'm sure there will be stories in the magazine to come. We've had stories before on crowdfunding and all kinds of things, and we'll keep that partnership going.
Yeah, I just want to say, relative to the magazine, Lisa, we do have in the next issue, we have a little feature about one of the partnerships we've been working on. We're calling it Developing Great Places.
Yes, yes.
Which is tied to the RRC, the Redevelopment Ready Communities Program that Catherine was talking about, but really trying to help communities get investment in those sites and attract those developers to really realize their vision, because you need a public-private partnership.
Right, right. So, get it moving forward, yeah.
So
yes, that'll
good,
be in the November-December issue.
In their case studies.
Great, great. Well, thank you again for joining us. Appreciate it.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.